I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Well, good evening and welcome to a belated John Whitmer show. Congratulations to Chiefs fans and Bronco fans, if there are any Bronco fans out there. Welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us tonight on, again, a nice, lovely last weekend in September. By beautiful weather, absolutely gorgeous weather. Thrilled to have you with us tonight. Got a great show planned for you this evening. Albeit belated. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity is going to walk us through some new polling data that shows a vast bipartisan majority of Americans who disapprove of Kamala Harris's plan to allow the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that's the income tax cuts that Donald Trump passed to expire. It's a core part of her, well, how she's going to pay for all her wish list. We're going to talk with Elizabeth Patton about this new polling data. You'll be surprised to hear how many Democrats actually oppose this plan. And it's time to resume our 2024 candidate profiles. Tonight, we'll have a conversation with Eric Seligman, who's a candidate for Kansas House District 83. And we're going to be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. So we've got a great show planned for you tonight. I can't wait to hear from you. Please feel free to call in 316, as I said, 316-869-1330. One of the things that I've been wanting to, we've talked about it a little bit on the show before, and it's the question of what to say if someone asks you, you know, or gives you that, you know, I can't believe you're voting for Donald Trump. And the reason this comes up is because we had the fall fling for KFL here last night. Great turnout, well over 100 people at the fall fling. And one of the things, and of course, we also had the picnic, not the Sedgwick County GOP picnic recently. And we've been selling a lot of Trump Vance yard signs. By the way, if you'd like a Trump Vance yard sign, Kansans for Life is selling them. You can just call KFL. You can come by their offices. You can buy a yard sign. But it's a fundraiser for KFL, but at any rate, there were a bunch of folks who were getting yard signs and going to put them in their yards. And it prompted somebody who says, I got a guy the other day, I had my Trump yard sign out, and he said, why, you can't believe you're voting for Donald Trump. And I have heard this before, and I imagine you're probably not the only one, I'm probably not the only one who's heard that question is, I can't believe you're voting for Donald Trump. Why are you voting for Donald Trump? This is, you know, we've heard this kind of attack before, where people are frustrated, people, you know, just they get mad. What are you doing? Are you one of those MAGA extremists? Because that's the narrative, is that we're all MAGA extremists who want to bring this country down. And when someone asks that, why are you voting for Trump or why you like Trump? You don't necessarily, some may, some are like myself, they're Trump fans. Maybe you don't like his tweets, but oh, for the day of mean tweets. But this election is not about choosing the most likable person, clearly, because there are elements of both of these people that aren't the most likable. But we're voting between two vastly different ideologies. We're voting for the country we want to leave our children and our grandchildren. And Trump represents the future. And he's proven that he can deliver. Kamala Harris has not proven anything. Kamala Harris has proven nothing. She has not even received a single vote. Clearly, she was the first one to drop out of the election 4 years ago. Trump is a patriot to the core. Served his country as president for 4 years without pay. So the moment someone says, I can't believe you're voting for Trump, you can always reply, I'm not necessarily voting for Trump. I'm voting for American exceptionalism. I'm voting to put America first. I'm voting for the First Amendment and the freedom of speech. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion and not be censored. I'm voting for secure borders and legal immigration. I'm voting for election integrity to include mandatory voter ID. Gee, what a simple concept that is. I'm voting for the Second Amendment and my right to defend my family and my life. I'm voting for the police to be respected once again. I'm voting for law and order and to end allowing protesters to trespass and burn our cities, destroying innocent small businesses. I'm voting for personal responsibility and the end of the revolving door where criminals are being put back in on the street and taxpayers are paying for their gender reassignment surgeries. I'm voting for the next Supreme Court justices to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm voting for return of our troops from foreign countries and to end America's involvement in foreign conflicts. I'm voting to end us continuing to write blank checks to Ukraine. I'm voting for the Electoral College and the defense of our republic, because, by the way, we are a republic. We're not a democracy. I'm voting for the continued appointment of federal judges who respect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. I'm voting for keeping our jobs to remain in America and not be outsourced all over the world to China, Mexico, and other foreign countries. Again, I'm voting to put America first. I'm voting for doing away with all the freebies given to all the illegals and not looking after the needs of American citizens and homeless veterans. I'm voting for the military and the veterans who fought for this country. I'm voting to keep men out of women's sports. I'm voting for peace, progress in the Middle East. I'm voting to fight against human and child trafficking. I'm voting for Trump because I'm voting for freedom of religion. I'm voting for Trump because I'm voting for the return of teaching math, history, and science instead of the indoctrination of our children. I'm not just voting for one person. This is what you tell them. Why are you voting for Trump? I'm not just voting for Trump. I'm voting for the future of our country. I'm voting for my children and my grandchildren to ensure their freedoms. Because America is the greatest country in the world. Some Democrats seem to have forgotten that, which is why everyone wants to immigrate here in the first place, and they should do that as long as they do so legally. So why is it that Democrats are so intent on wanting to change that? Why do politicians want to enact policies that have failed in other countries throughout history? So you could always tell them, I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'm voting for America. Which is why a vote for President Trump is so crucial to guarding and preserving the United States of America. So you see, you're not necessarily voting for the individual. You can set aside the things about his personality that annoy you. And remember, you're voting for your country. You're voting to preserve your republic. And it's been a bizarre election. If you think about how bizarre this election has been so far, we can come when we get back after the top of the break. I want to share. This was some of these key things were shared. David Kensinger came recently and spoke to the Pachyderm Club. And he shared just how it was a great presentation, by the way. I shared some of it on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. But he and the Pachyderm Club has the video of it on their Facebook page as well. But if you think about it, the November election is only 36 days away, and it has been bizarre, to say the least. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, I will share just how bizarre this is. But you, if you think about it, you've just got to remember how truly bizarre. I mean, we've gone through an ejection of one president, an insertion of a presidential candidate, the insertion of another presidential candidate, one who never got any votes, and two assassination attempts, all in a matter of 2 months. It's just such a bizarre election cycle, and we've still got more than a month left to it. But that's, again, why we have to be vigilant, why now is the time. We've had our fall flings, we've had our picnics, we've had our fun. Now it's time to get to work. Speaking of getting to work, before I take my top of the hour break, I want to remind you of something. We've got, it's parade season. This weekend, we've got a big parade for Jeff Blubaugh down in Clearwater. He needs volunteers to come walk with him. Next weekend, Stephanie Wise has a parade in Goddard. She needs volunteers to walk with her. The following weekend, Jeff Blubaugh has another parade down in Hayesville. So the next 3 weekends, if you can't door knock, if you don't want to donate, come walk in a parade. Take a walk with some candidates. You got two county commission candidates over the next 3 weeks that need a little help walking in parades. All three of those campaigns could use some parade walkers. This weekend for Jeff, next weekend for Stephanie, following weekend for Jeff. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. If you ever miss a part of a show, like, well, I don't know, last week or something like that, shame on you, first off. But if you do, we've got you covered. We always post clips from all our shows, not only on our Facebook page, but online. We post single hours, oftentimes just individual segments, and the entire show as one audio file. Lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started, and you can find links to all our podcasts there. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So as I was saying, you know, if you look at it, and kudos to David Kensinger, who was Governor Sam Brownback's chief of staff and is a political consultant and lobbyist up in Topeka, an absolute political savant. But he came and spoke to the Pachyderm Club recently, and he shared some of the comments that he shared, one of which was just a reflection on how bizarre the 2024 election has been so far. And if you think about it, we're, you know, 37, 36 days, whatever it is, from the November 5th election. And just look at what we've already experienced this election cycle. Joe Biden was hounded from the race by people who've insisted for years that he was, you know, capable, sharp as a tack, just, you know, the intelligent, the sharpest president in history. And then they force him out, but they won't say why. But they did it. And then, of course, they retroactively disenfranchised the 14 million of their own voters who voted for him, all under the auspices of saving democracy. Which, you know, so we're going to ignore 14 million voters to save democracy. How ludicrous is that? Meanwhile, Donald Trump was criminally indicted by a political Democrat prosecutor. Well, multiple of them in multiple jurisdictions, all of whom campaigned on platforms specifically targeting him. And all of this was done with the active assistance of the Department of Justice. Well, meanwhile, they're all telling us that they don't use the legal process to target their political enemies. In one case, Trump was fined $450 million for what? Repaying a loan. In a trial that was overseen by the father of a Democratic fundraiser for the lead prosecutor in Trump's first impeachment. And again, all of this was done to, quote, preserve the rule of law by a party that says they don't use the legal process to target their political enemies. Republicans do. Right. Okay. just making sure we understand where we're coming from here. And now the incumbent vice president, who's been vice president for 3.5 years, who said she was the last person in the room, her quote, when the decision was made to withdraw troops from Afghanistan, who says she's been in on every key decision, is now running on a platform to quote unquote bring change. Again, and people are buying this bullpucky. Oh, and people are still trying to kill Trump. After all, there have been two assassination attempts by both of the shooters were known Democrat donors. All the while, they're saying that Donald Trump is a, quote, threat to democracy. And Donald Trump's supporters, you and I, are, quote, MAGA extremists who are prone to violence. So this is the strange, bizarro world that we are living in, folks. It really is bizarre that this is the situation that we find ourselves in. And I mean, am I wrong here, Phil? I mean, this is, did I misrepresent anything there?
No, told the truth.
I just don't understand this.
I have a question. Where is Joe Biden?
Asleep on a beach.
I was walking through the grocery store the other day and surprised not to find his face on the side of a milk carton.
Yeah.
Because ever since Kamala Harris has been indicted as the new savior of the Democratic Party, all of a sudden Joe gets put on the back burner.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest. I almost forget that he's president because.
Well, I think Joe's forgotten he's president, but you're right. You're right. I mean, he does. They trot him out to stumble his way through a speech and forget who the Indian president is or who the next speaker is. Forget where he is. I saw that one just this last week. He forgot what state he was in. It's a good point, but you know, the alternative is to bring him out more often. I think one of the reasons that they're keeping him out of sight, out of mind, is it's hard for her, for Kamala, to run on a platform of change if he's out there too much, because it reminds people that she's part of his bad polling numbers and his legacy.
She's still attached to him.
I mean, of course.
As far as the administration, she's still attached to him.
Right. But that's why they don't want him out there too much, is because that reminds voters that it was the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, the perfect one is what happened here on Friday. For those of you who don't know, on Friday, Kamala Harris went down to Arizona. She was down in Arizona. On Friday, she went to the U.S.-Mexico border in Arizona and again claimed that the border was secure. According to a recent congressional report, I don't know if you saw this, Phil, the administration has now allowed 650,000 criminal immigrants and suspects into the United States. That's the latest figure, 650,000, including at least 13,099 migrant murderers and 222,141 migrants facing criminal charges. And they have released those into the country. So heaven knows how many gotaways there were.
Right.
The data among those not in detention, there are 425,000 convicted criminals, over 13,000 of which are migrants who have been convicted of homicide. And these are the ones not detained. So they know, the administration knows that they were convicted of homicides and didn't detain them. Mm. And yet Harris, you know, says the border, if she really wanted to secure the border, she's had 3 years to do it. Why didn't she do it?
Here's my problem. She is bent on blaming Republicans for this.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because President Trump and the Republicans shot down the supposed bipartisan border bill that she was championing.
Right.
What she's failing to tell the American people was what was all in that bill.
Oh yeah.
And she's leaving out all the she's leaving out all the good parts.
Of course. Well, and that bill was mediocre at best. It wouldn't have done anything but give their administration more authority to let in more illegals, but you know, if they'd have even enforced it.
Do you ever have that sink in your house at one point where you have done everything you can to turn it off and there is still a drip?
Yes.
There's still a slow flow of water. This is basically what this bill, had it passed,
yeah,
would have done. you're still going to get people coming in.
Yeah, wouldn't have fixed anything. Would not have fixed a thing. But that's the situation. That's exactly what it would have done. You're absolutely right. It would have been a perpetual drip that would have never solved a problem, would have left us with a perpetual flow of a drip, to use your analogy, a perpetual flow of illegals across the border with us not able to do anything about it. And I think that was by design. It's what they wanted, but you know, that's what they wanted. So what can I say? You know, she says it's secure and she was the border czar. So she should know. We'll take a quick break. And then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas will join us to share with us the results of some new polling data that shows a bipartisan majority of Kansans do not want Kamala Harris to end the tax cut bill that Donald Trump passed in his first year in office. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. They join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. It's a great opportunity for you to get involved, to make your voice heard and make a difference this election cycle. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and like and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. So speaking of Americans for Prosperity, they recently conducted and released the results of a new survey that showed a vast bipartisan, that's the key, majority of Americans do not support Kamala Harris's plan to let the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire. Don't believe the narrative, folks. This is not a tax cut for the rich or for corporations. This was a tax cut that benefited all Americans, which is why a vast majority of all Americans do not support letting these tax cuts expire, which is what's going to happen next year if Harris and the Democrats have their way. With us now to walk us through the results of this poll is Elizabeth Olson. Wow, I'm telling you, I got too much coffee or not enough coffee. One way or the other. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this evening.
Happy to be here. All good. It's Sunday night. You know, I think that, it's maybe both not enough and.
Yeah, it could be. I'm still tired. We had a very successful fall fling yesterday, but I put in a lot of hours yesterday, so I think I'm still recovering.
I bet.
So I looked at the numbers from this poll, and I mean, there are a lot of them that shocked me, but the first one was this: more than three quarters, 76% of voters say that it's a bad time to increase taxes. But the one that shocked me here was, you know, obviously 18% said, you know, it's neither good or a bad time. So that's people who are just confused. But there are actually 5% of people that actually say it's a good time to raise taxes. Who are these people? Who are the 5%?
I don't know, but I was shocked at that number too. I was like, did they misunderstand the question? No. You know, it does. It makes you wonder, who are these people? Maybe they are the true bona fide socialists that exist in America.
I guess.
I'm not sure.
I guess. Yep. Yeah, 5% of folks think it's a great time to raise taxes. Okay, well, you know, okay, let's raise it on them and only them. Right?
We'll take it.
Another key part of this that was fascinating was the breakdown. It's bipartisan. 89% of Republicans say it's bad time. Don't let the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expire. 74% of independents, which is good for Trump. Here's the big number, though. 65% of Democrats all saying is a bad time to raise taxes. And yet Kamala Harris's plan, if you can find it, and if it's hard to actually find a plan of hers, but 65% of Democrats don't support it.
Right. That's a huge number. And I think it's a giant underestimation by the left to think that this is a reasonable policy for them to champion. And, you know, hey, as far as these numbers show us, you know, keep talking about that. It doesn't look like America agrees with them, and that's fine by me, because they know they are real Americans. And I think, you know, Kamala is just completely unattached to the general public and what it actually has meant for them over the last few years during the Biden administration, during her administration, and what it has looked like. And they know this is ridiculous. There's no reason and no appetite to raise taxes. And even in our own party, 65% agree with us that now it's not the time.
What do you say to those, because there are those on the left, the vice president in particular has been touting that all of the tax cuts and job acts is all, you know, for the rich and corporations. That's their big talking point. You and I both know that that's not true. I mean, if you look at not extending the 2017 tax rates,
right,
the largest percentage of people that get hurt by that are actually middle class families, correct?
They are. It's actually middle class families. And I actually have some additional numbers that are interesting on that. We broke it down a little further. And by expiring the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the average Kansas family's federal tax rate bill would rise by over $2,200.
Oh.
And yeah. And over 1,300 of that would just be in the income tax rates alone. And that's the average Kansas family's federal tax bill, how much it would increase if Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires next year. And on top of that, about 60,000 small businesses in Kansas that employ a total of well over 500,000, so 500,000 Kansans, they would be significantly hurt as well. But these are not big corporations. These are small businesses that employ a huge amount of Kansans, and we will see, you know, an increase in all of their, it's constant. It's their taxes, the cost of doing business, all the things, right? But actually the burden for the tax increase is higher on the average Kansas family than it is on individual businesses regardless. But it all comes together and is a bad deal for Kansas families.
Well, and I don't know the exact number. I remember when I was in the legislature, it was upwards of 62, 64% of all jobs in Kansas were small business jobs. But we also know that when a business is taxed, when a business incurs expenses like this, they don't just, it's not like the owner says, oh, well, I guess I'm going to pay that. We know what happens. They pass that increase on to their customer because they have no choice.
Right.
They can't,
right.
Their margins exactly. aren't there for this type of an right. increase. So in the end, right. the consumers are going to pay. So if you're a small family, your middle income family, not only are you going to pay that $2,000, you're now going right. to help offset the cost when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the convenience store, when you're paying at the pump, you're going to yep. pay that business's tax cuts and yep. job act tax increase as well.
Yeah, and I think the natural consequence of that, unfortunately, just the reality of it, right, is that the cost of business will go up. Salaries, what we saw, the benefit of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act right. going back in time was that we saw the cost of business go down. We saw more buying power for the American family, but we also saw things like salaries increase and working families benefit. And by, you know, sucking that back into, you know, federal coffers, who, by the way, really, I mean, they need it because we, you know, have a spending problem, not because they actually need it. But, you know, that sucks right out of our economy. And I think we're going to see jobs lost. And that is just completely the wrong direction for where our country needs to go right now. And it will devastate, I think, our economy in a way that I don't think we've seen in probably since 2007. And it would be a real problem.
We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity Kansas. You know, I have you guys on to talk about the National Days of Action, but you're really wrapping it up in October because, well, we're a little over 30 days from the election. You guys are really kind of gearing up a little bit more than usual in October with your NDOAs, correct?
We are. We are going to have a National Day of Action, so some activity and or State Day of Action. There will be activity every Saturday, but I'll tell you, if somebody wants to volunteer, we actually have activity every day if they'd like it. And you pointed out earlier that AFP Action part of their firewall strategy to make sure that we do not have one party progressive rule in D.C. and to help some of our key Senate states like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and all those guys, Montana, succeed. We do phone banks on Thursday nights. Lots of opportunities to get involved and bring it home for not only our state candidates, but also you know, help defend the nation and freedom across the whole map.
I talk to folks a lot, and they ask, "What can I do?" Which is why I like to point out things like, you know, Jeff Blubaugh's parade coming up on Saturday, or things like your next National Day of Action, which for Wichita is coming up here on Saturday.
Yeah,
but it's also Saturday. Why I point out those phone banking opportunities, because, you know, some folks may not have the stamina to go walk for, I mean, my wife has been doing, I think, 8 hours a day for you guys, but some people may not be able to do that, but they could sit and make phone calls. And, and that's something you could do. And it makes a big difference when you're phone banking.
It does. You're still having conversations with people, and it's still an opportunity to help make sure that they're educated about the candidates and get them out to the polls. Just all of the things matter, and especially as we go further into October and we are driving folks to make sure that they make their voice heard, this matters very much. So however they want to get involved, whatever their time frame is, that's what's great about AFP, especially in the month of October. We can accommodate you, and we can make sure that it fits within your schedule and your capability, and we can make sure you can make a difference.
Well, and here's the thing that I try and remind folks about is this, you know, the opposition, the other side is doing this in all across the country, all across the state, all across Sedgwick County. Their different organizations, be it Planned Parenthood, be it their Democrat Party, be it Laura Kelly's PACs, that she's got multiple of them. She's got $2 million to burn. And so it's important that we do get involved. If folks want to, if they need information, if they want to reach out to AFP and get involved in one of these walks or something, what's the best way for them to do that?
The best way for them to do that is to go on the website, AmericansForProsperity.org, and navigate to the state pages, go to our Kansas page and sign up right there, and we'll get a hold of you. You can also contact us on Facebook or X. I realize I usually say Twitter because I'm old.
I still do it too.
contact us on any of, or Instagram, any of our social media platforms. You can direct message us and get a hold of us that way as well. And we would love to connect with you and get you started on whatever works best for you and help you, you know, fight for freedom and in any way possible.
AmericansForProsperity.org. And Elizabeth, will you do me a favor? Will you email me that stat about the $2,000 for Kansas? Because I'm going to tweet that out. I want folks to have that data. And thank you again. Absolutely. Carry on the fight. And of course, my wife and I will be door knocking for you this week. So we'll see you at the doors.
We'll see you at the doors. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up, stick around, because we're going to continue our 2024 candidate profiles with a conversation with Eric Seligman, who's running for Kansas House District 83. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Don't forget, if you ever miss an episode, just visit KNSS.com, KNSradio.com. You can get all links to podcasts of all our previous episodes there. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social and X. Find me on X at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates on the show. Well, every election cycle, we try to bring you as many candidates running for local, state, and federal offices as we can to give you the opportunity to hear directly from them firsthand. I endeavor to invite every candidate registered on the ballot to appear on the show. Some do, some don't. You know, Mayor Whipple, chicken. But we'll try. If you're interested in having a particular candidate on the show, shoot me a message, email me. I'll be happy at, it's John at KNSSradio.com. Be happy to reach out to a candidate for you. All that being said, with us now is Eric Seligman. He is a candidate for House District 83.
83.
That's what I thought. He moved to,
Eastboro, Kansas in 2021. He is a senior product engineering architect for Cadence Design System. And he has, look at this. He's got a BA in mathematics from Princeton. I won't hold that against you. This is, you know, Ivy League guy. A master's of science in computer science from Carnegie Mellon University. Okay. Boy, I'm feeling a little outclassed here with my BA and BS. So it's a political science degree here. We're thrilled to have him with us this evening. Eric, thank you for joining us. Pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. So the first question I always ask candidates, why? Why? I mean, you're way too smart to be a politician. So why would you want to throw your hat into this ring?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. You know, back in Oregon where I lived before, talk about a
blue state. My wife was from Oregon. Trust me, I know what you, yeah, there are a few red pockets. But it's dominated by blue governments, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I fought the good fight over there. I served on the board of one of the state's largest school districts for 4 years. But we could see the writing on the wall. Things are going so far left there. Really, Western civilization has collapsed in the Portland area completely.
Oh, is that where you're from, Portland?
Yeah, well, I spent the last 30 years or so there. So,
oh, woo.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, when my family and I decided that we had to get out of there. And looking for good places to live, and Kansas seemed like it had a lot of potential. You know, my wife is a manufacturing engineer. She was working at Boeing out there, so of course the airplane stuff naturally attracted us. And the kind of engineering I do, I can do remotely. So
your wife's an engineer and you're an engineer. You got two smart kids.
One smart kid.
So I'm literally seeing a bunch of intelligence here. Again, why would you want to go into politics?
Yeah, so I got here and, you know, I wasn't planning to get into politics in Kansas, but I was really annoyed when I went in for my first real Kansas election in 2022 and saw that for state rep, there was just one guy on the ballot, a Democrat, who nobody was challenging and nobody had challenged for years.
For those who are aren't familiar with House District 83, that's Henry Helgerson. Nice guy. I served with him. He's a nice guy, but he definitely falls in line. He will do what Laura Kelly tells him to do.
Yeah. And that's not what Kansas needs right now. And so, you know, seeing that, you know, I was kind of annoyed not to have a choice there. So I started looking into things that Henry's been doing. And, you know, there's a number of votes he's made that I really had problems with, you know. And I think, you know, other than, of course, the fact that he's a loyal Democrat, there were a few specific things this year that bugged me.
So what were the specific things? I can imagine, I mean, some of them. My guess is because he does what he's told, so I'm sure he sustained the vetoes on women and girls sports. I'm sure he's all in on abortion, all the typical social issues, I'm sure.
Yeah, so on the social issues, and the one thing that I think is really at an emergency stage right now is the genital mutilation of children, known as gender-affirming care, to the politically correct. And that's really a crisis stage. If you read it, what's happening there, it's disgusting, like, you know, vivisection level stuff that they're doing to children, permanently destroying their bodies. And there's thousands of kids around Kansas right now who are self-identified as trans who are in danger of having these medical treatments done to them. And of course, there was a bill a few months ago to outlaw that. And, you know, Governor Kelly vetoed it. And again, Henry fell in line with his party and helped sustain that veto.
You know, one of the other things that I think has frustrated across the aisle is the issue of taxes. And I know, you know, Henry has been fiscally conservative, and I think he is. But at the same time, again, when the orders come down, or in this case come up, because the governor's office is on the second floor and the legislature's on the third, when the orders come up from the governor, I'm sure he toes the line. I guarantee you he sustained the vetoes from her when she vetoed the tax bill that would have given Kansans real tax relief.
Yeah. But I want to challenge you a little bit on that. You know, I mean, Henry has this image he's put forth of being fiscally conservative, and it's true compared to other Democrats. He can definitely mark himself as fiscally conservative, but that's
low-hanging fruit.
I'm kind of annoyed at the way both parties in Kansas have been discussing the tax issue, because whether you discuss it with a Republican or a Democrat, they bury you in numbers, right? I'll ask a Republican legislator, and he'll say, oh, we're going to cut property taxes by X percent, Social Security by Y percent, and dog catcher tax by Z percent, but the Democrats only want to cut dog catcher tax by Z minus one, so therefore we're better. And you can throw all these numbers at people, and what are they measured against? What's the benchmark, right? What you really have to do is look at what's the overall per capita tax burden in Kansas. So if you look at national rankings, for example, the one at wallethub.com, Kansas ranks 12th out of 50 states in overall per capita tax burden, which is insane for a red
state. Too high for a small population,
and,
too.
And whether you're a Democrat or Republican, if you're proposing a set of tax cuts, you should have an objective benchmark. Say, okay, the reason why we want to present this X, Y, and Z percent tax cut is because that will change our overall tax burden to this, which will put us in this position on the benchmark, which is a reasonable place we should be. Right. And I haven't seen an argument like that from anyone on either side. Whichever legislator you talk to, they just bury you in arbitrary numbers that really can't be judged objectively. And well, we need to fix that discussion.
The other thing that we haven't really seen is calls for spending cuts. We've seen a little bit from the leadership this time, and I'm glad to see it. But if we're really going to get to the heart of the problem, right now they're sitting, Laura Kelly's got, what, $3, $4 billion stuffed under her mattress. It's high time they started giving that money back.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, there's an important lesson to take here from Oregon, which I saw, you know, collapse, as I mentioned, government-wise. And really what happened there, you know, among many other problems, is that their government employment sort of metastasized. It became a cancer and gets growing and growing and growing. It's a point in Oregon where pretty much the government employees entirely control the government, which, of course, is a, you know, a situation where you're going to have a disaster. And Kansas, you know, again, surprisingly for a red state, we have way too high a percentage of government employment. I think actually,
yeah, it's really
Elizabeth
high.
From AFP actually published some good articles on that. And that's something that we have to cut. And that's something that we can't waste time and can't just let it slide, because it's a cancer. It grows. It naturally increases and increases. And it's going to reach a certain point where we won't be able to fight it. And Kansas is going to turn into Oregon if we don't cut the percentage of government employment.
But Eric, the Public Employees Union is one of the most powerful ones up in Topeka. They donate to a lot of campaigns. Eric, you mind sticking around? We'll take a quick break and we'll come back.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show is sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And when you need to stay informed, you can do so with the free Odyssey app. Just get the best breaking local news coverage from KNSS on the go. Download Odyssey today, search KNSS to get started, and of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Albert. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1, divide the nation philosophically. 2, foment racial strife. 3, cause distrust of police authority. 4, swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5, engender the military strength to weaken it. 6, overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. 7, encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8, control all balloting. 9, control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pen a good finish.
With us still is Eric Seligman, candidate for House District 83. So Eric, let's talk some basic
GOP, you know, Republican Party principles. Looking at your website, which, by the way, is WichitaEric.com, and that's E-R-I-K. I see you've got Second Amendment is one of the ones that, and I'm somewhat familiar with your district because parts of it were kind of butted up against my old house district. I know, you know, there's a fair amount of your area down there that's pretty pro-life, pro-gun kind of folks. Definitely the pro-gun kind of folks.
Yeah.
And I know the incumbent, I'm sure, is, again, following orders. The Democrats are not very pro-Second Amendment.
Yeah. It's funny because actually when I was on the school board in Oregon, the issue came up that, you know, people talked about school shootings. And the superintendent started this program where he was, like, timing the police response and showing that they could get to any school in the district within 10 minutes.
Yeah, but 10 minutes, and, a lot can happen in 10 minutes.
And I said to him, so, well, why don't we just simply pass a policy allowing teachers to carry guns, and that way they'll be able to defend themselves in 0 minutes. And it seemed to make perfect sense to me. And I actually pursued that a little bit. And, of course, the bureaucracy ended up beating me over there in Oregon.
Of course.
They, you know, apparently our insurance company dictated that we not allow any guns in the schools.
Yeah, and that's when you go and get another insurance company. Yeah, we've had that fight here in Kansas. Trust me.
Yep. So that was my big Second Amendment battle that I fought over there. I've been endorsed by the NRA after filling out their questionnaire. I think I'm definitely a pro-Second Amendment guy.
So when you mentioned you a couple times that you served on a school board, what are your thoughts? You know, there have been, I think it's only a matter of time before the state legislature gets sued by these districts for more taxpayer money. They're going to use taxpayer money to sue the state for more taxpayer money. What are your thoughts on, you know, whether or not the districts are adequately funded and school choice?
Yeah, well, I think school choice is critical. In one way, it's to expose the fact that the districts are overfunded in many ways and just wasteful with the money. So just, again, looking at the example when I was in Oregon, in order to judge how much money a charter school would get, it was some percentage of the so-called per-student spending.
Right, yeah.
And so our district would quote the per-student spending as something like $9,000 a year, and then some percentage of that would go to a charter school if you went to a charter school. But then, of course, being on the board, I could see the whole budget. So I looked at the budget, took the total funds in the budget, divided by the number of students, and I got over $12,000 per student. So I went to the, you know, our CFO and said, okay, what's going on? He said, oh, well, this money doesn't count because that helps repair buildings. This money doesn't count because it fixes broken windows.
Yeah,
and
still counts.
You know, and it's like, what other business gets to put money in various buckets and say it doesn't count for the purposes of accounting? And so the schools play tricks like this in order to, you know, pay for overinflated costs. And if you look at just the national statistics, you know, the number of bureaucrats in schools, number of diversity officers and extra HR people and all that stuff, just a total waste. If we were able to expand, you know, charter schools and vouchers in Kansas and, you know, let students take a portion of their money with them when they go to a non-traditional public school, then we'll find that the total per student cost will be much cheaper than the current model, which is where the vast majority are in old-fashioned traditional public schools with their wasteful bureaucracies.
Well, and I think we'd also have a better outcome if there was competition injected into the public school systems, and frankly, if more money was finding its way into the classroom. I think you're right. Many of these districts are bloated with massive administrations, and the money's not getting filtered into the classroom, and frankly, into teacher pay, which is where it needs to be.
Yeah. And it's, and I'm just discussing the money since you asked about it. But yeah, in terms of the outcomes, I think competition is even more important for that than it is for the money. If you don't have any competition, there's no incentive to drive up your quality.
So I know you've been door knocking. What are you hearing as you're out there door knocking, talking to folks in the district? What's the number one issue that you're hearing from them?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people are concerned about taxes, and especially these days with the Bidenflation, you know, everybody's money is getting tighter and tighter. And the one thing that I think also has a lot of resonance is the discussion of child sex changes. I think right now people just aren't educated enough on the issue. You know, they hear the sort of glossy propaganda from the LGBT advocates. It's like, oh, look, our doctors are so advanced now. They can press a magic button and change a boy to a girl. And
yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Our technology is so good. And, you know, when you learn the details of, you know, no, what you're doing, I don't want to get too graphic on this show, but, you know, you're creating a permanent wound where a bodily organ used to be that you're going to have to treat for the rest of your life. I mean, that stuff is just horrifying that they're, you know, driving kids to do this to themselves when they're too young to decide. And I think people are realizing that. Even, you know, when I knock on the doors of some people who are listed as Democrats and I start discussing this issue and, you know, they open their eyes and realize what's really happening there, you know.
But it's the same thing with protecting the integrity and the sanctity of women's sports. That issue polls upwards of 60s, lower 70%, bipartisan. Even Democrats don't like the idea of biological males competing in women's sports. Yep. And yet, you know, Henry Helgerson, Laura Kelly, they all voted opposed to that. Laura Kelly vetoed that bill. That's, you know, it shows how out of touch they are with the mainstream on issues like that matter to people.
Yeah.
It really does. Eric, I appreciate you, brother. I know that you know, folks are interested. They're watching this race. If folks want to help you, if they want to volunteer, or more importantly, if they want to donate, they can find more information at WichitaEric, and that's ERIK.com, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Brother, I wish you all the best. This is one of those seats that I think we have a real chance of swinging from what has been held to, you know, for quite way too long. I'm a fan of term limits. It's high time that we, and I like Henry, nice guy, but it's high time we gave Henry a term limit and let somebody else come in there and bring about a little change to District 83.
I agree.
Wish you the best of luck, my friend. WichitaEric.com.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck, my friend. Did I see that we had a call there, Phil? Was there somebody on the line? We've got a minute or two. I could take it if we've got somebody.
We do not.
Okay. Well, I know that I saw it ring, but you may have told them that we had somebody. That's fine. Let me take a moment to remind some folks, listen daily for my carry-on commentaries. It's a 60-second daily feature that we package up. They'll run three times a day, Monday through Friday. Try to get those in every day. So make sure you tune in to the 60-second daily feature, the carry-on commentary. Don't forget the Wichita Pachyderm Club that meets every Friday at noon at the Petroleum Club. It's the ninth floor club down the downtown, but they always have great speakers. We just had Senator Marshall was in town. Congressman Estes was in town. And also, don't forget, coming up here, less than, I think it's just a few days away, is the vice presidential debate. So, Tuesday. Yeah. So, not this Tuesday. Yes, it is this Tuesday. So, that should be very entertaining. I'm really looking forward to that one. We'll see what J.D. Vance can do with the former governor of governor. We'll see what he does. Regular show next week. Can't wait. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.